Hey, Hambo, we're going to enter into a segment that we wanted to put on record, if we can do that, if you you're set up to do that. And we're going to talk about something that's on the ballot. I got a couple of sample ballots yesterday, and of course they're available if you want to pick them up at the courthouse. I'm sure that both courthouses have those. Now, we're talking about Alabama today, this morning, on this when we talk about amendments. We don't have the information on the Florida amendments, and we open our microphones to anyone who would like to discuss any amendments on the Florida ballot. But today we're going to be talking about, for the rest of our time, amendments to the Alabama Constitution that are on the November 8th ballot. What do they mean, and how do they affect your life as a citizen of the state of Alabama and of Escambia County? Now, we'll be talking about to our local counties of Escambia, Conecuh, Monroe, and perhaps Covington, and also Baldwin County when we talk about these amendments, because they are the ones that will be affected locally by these amendments. When you get your ballot on November the 8th, or if you get a absentee ballot, you will find that besides all the candidates and the races that are being contested, that there are 14 amendments to the Alabama Constitution on that ballot to be voted on November the 8th. In my preface, I would like to say thank you to the staff at the Association of County Commissioners of Alabama who have been so helpful in doing the research and preparing the information that I intend to share with you concerning the 14 amendments on the ballot, and specifically the Director of Public Affairs, Ms. Terry Reynolds, and the staff attorney, Ms. Morgan Arrington, and, of course, the Executive Director, Mr. Sonny Brassfield. Mr. Brassfield is going to join us later on in the show to give us a little expert opinion on about three of these ballots that we really want to focus on after we get through with the with running over this list of 14 amendments on the ballot on November the 8th. So let's get right to those amendments. When you get your ballot, you have to find these. I don't know how they're going to be positioned on the ballots that go through the electronic counters. They should be on the back, but you'll need to look at the proposed amendments to the Alabama Constitution. They are, they're briefly described on the ballot. And again, with so much on the ballot, I don't know how large print these things are going to be. Are they going to be where you can actually read them? Or are you going to have to take them out and get a magnifying glass, isn't it, to read them? But even when you read them, that you may not understand exactly what you're voting on, and a lot of times folks get frustrated and just don't vote on them at all, or just vote on no on all of them. So we want to give you an idea of what's going on, what they mean, and whether or not you want to vote yay, nay, or not vote at all, then you make that decision. Proposed Amendment number 1 to the Constitution that's on the ballot is an amendment to establish a procedure to ensure that no more than 3 of the members of the Auburn University Board of Trustees have terms that expire in the same calendar year, and to add 2 additional at-large members to the board to enhance diversity on the board. This has to do, of course, with the Auburn University Board of Trustees. That's the issue. It had to go on the ballot to get people to vote on this. Amendment number 1 does 2 things. First, it sets up a process to make sure that no more than 3 of the members of the Auburn University Board of Trustees will have terms that end in the same year. My. Second, it adds 2 more at-large members to the board who are intended to add diversity to the board, and that increases the size of the board of the Auburn University Board of Trustees from 14 to 16 total members, with 5 at-large state members. So, that's what amendment number 1. Now, you want to vote yay, nay, that's up to you. Do not want to vote on it. It does particularly pertain to the Auburn University Board of Trustees. I can think of several people around that might be directly interested in the Board of Trustees at the Auburn University. That's Amendment number one, and it's what it actually means. Amendment number two is, I'm going to read you the ballot wording, and then I'll give you what it actually means. Amendment number two is proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama of 1901 to prohibit any monies from state park fund, the park revolving fund, or any fund receiving revenues currently deposited in the state parks funds or parks revolving fund, and any monies currently designed or designated pursuant to statute for the use of state park system from being transferred from another purpose other than support, upkeep, and maintenance of the state park system. Now, that was a mouthful. Even when you read that, you might have discussions on what it actually means. Well, here's what it actually means. At the present time, revenues generated by the state park system, fees and things of that nature, may be spent by the legislature for purposes other than maintaining state parks. With some exception, current law requires the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources to update and maintain all state park lands and facilities. So it's the responsibility of the Department of Conservation to operate and maintain the state park lands and facilities. Amendment number two would prevent the legislature from spending any of those revenues generated at the state parks for any purpose other than maintaining the state park unless those revenues exceed $50 million in 1 year. And amendment number two would also allow but not require certain park lands and facilities to be operated and maintained by an entity other than Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Some of our state parks have been leased out to other entities, and I think one of those would be the park over north of Atmore, Little River State Park, as we know it. So those are the changes that are made. It's really going to make sure that the Department of Conservation gets the fees that it earns, from park function. So that's amendment number two. Amendment number three is a proposed amendment. I'll give you the ballot wording of it. Proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama to revise the procedures for adoption of local constitutional amendments to provide that a proposed constitutional amendment the legislature determines without a dissenting vote applies to only one county or a political subdivision within one or more counties shall be adopted as a valid part of the Constitution by a favorable vote of the majority of the qualified electors of the affected county or the political subdivision and county or counties in which the political subdivision is located who vote on the amendment. My friends, that's a mouthful. Now, that is a very, very important amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alabama. We've had a lot of people to inquire about why do I vote on Marion County's probate judge's race? Why does Limestone County on the Tennessee line vote on Escambia County's pistol permit tax? Well, this bill is designed to stop that nonsense. There are four local bills, four of these 14 that we talked about, and we'll run over those briefly in a few minutes. There are four local bills on the state ballot that only apply to specific counties. There's one for Pickens County, one for Calhoun County, one for Baldwin County, and then there is one more. So there are four, and we'll go over those in just a moment. But this amendment, we'll talk a lot about it at the end with our executive director, Sonny Brasfield, and because that's one we want to focus on at the end. So that's number three. Ronnie, let's take a quick 60-second break. We'll be back with much more on the Lou in the Morning Show, the amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alabama on the November ballot. On the proposed amendments to the Alabama Constitution that you're going to see on the ballot in November for the November 8th election. We had gotten down to amendment number four. Amendment number four, the ballot reading on it is like this, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama of 1901 to authorize each county commission in the state to establish, subject to certain limitations, certain programs relating to the administration of Affairs in the county. That one is also one that we'll take up at the end, because there are three that we really are concerned at the county commission level for sure, and we want to give you a complete explanation, and I want to get Mr. Brasfield on the phone, which he'll be here, be on in about 15 minutes, to give us a detailed explanation of what those would do for county government. It is more or less an amendment concerning the administrative powers of county commissions. Amendment number 5 that is proposed, the ballot wording is like this: proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama 1901 to repeal and restate the provisions of Article 3 of the Constitution of 1901 regarding the separation of powers, to modernize the language without making any substantive change, effective January 1. What does it actually do? What does that actually mean? It's just a cleanup bill, language related to the powers given in the three branches of the Alabama Constitution. It's now in two parts. They're going to put it in one part, and they're going to put it in the Constitution. So it looks like a cleanup bill, and you need to consider whether or not you want to support that. It looks like it might be a good move, as the legislature is determined to put it on the ballot. Amendment number 6 is proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama 1901 to repeal, effective January 1 of 2017, and replace Article 7 concerning impeachment. Okay. We've heard that word in recent months. What does it actually mean? Amendment 6 changes how the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, the state auditor, and the secretary of state, state treasurer, state board of education, state superintendent of education, commissioner of agriculture, and members of the Alabama Supreme Court can be impeached and removed from office. Right now, the state constitution does not set the number of votes required to remove one of these officials from office. Amendment 6 would require a two-thirds majority vote of the Alabama Senate for removal from office. Okay, so right now, there's no set number of votes that's required. This law sets it at a two-thirds majority vote. Amendment 6 also subjects the entire state board of education to impeachment and removes the superintendent of education, who is appointed by and can be removed by the board from the impeachment process. Amendment 6 will not change the reasons someone can be impeached. So that bill deals with impeachment. If you had any questions about that, we'll be glad to talk about those. Amendment number 7 is one that you probably do not want to fool with unless you're from up in the Gadsden area. This is relating to Etowah County. There's one of those local amendments, the statewide ballot. Relating to Etowah County, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama 1901 to provide the employees of the Office of Sheriff of Etowah County, except for the Deputy Chief of Detention and Chief Administrator, anyway, shall be under the authority of the Personnel Board of the Office of the Sheriff. That particularly pertains to Etowah County. Etowah County, as I said, is up on I-59 near the Gadsden area. That is a specific local bill. The amendment will require all Etowah County Sheriff's employees, except people serving in specified management positions, to be under the authority of the Personnel Board. So that's one of those that Amendment 3 will correct, and we'll discuss that a little later. That local bill for Etowah County that requires a statewide vote on what will happen in Etowah County. Ballot language on the proposed Amendment number 8 on the Constitution amendments and on the ballot in 2016 is a proposed amendment to the Constitution of 1901 to declare that it is a public policy that the right of persons to work may not be denied or abridged on account of membership or non-membership in a labor union or labor organization. Let me just say briefly, right now, we are a right-to-work state. You, even though you are not a member of a union or a labor organization, and you are not required to pay dues to those in order to preserve your job. What this actually does to that law, we're continuing to be a right-to-work state under current law, the Code of Alabama, but not the state constitutions. All right, the Code of Alabama is one thing, state constitution is another. But not the state constitution declares that a person's membership or non-membership in a labor union or organization may not be eliminated or reduced that person's right to work, nor be used as a condition of employment or continuation of employment. Amendment 8 would place these identical right to work provisions from the Code of Alabama, into the state constitution. That looks like a pretty good bill from my standpoint. You need to look at that yourself and see whether or not you want to support that, but that that looks like a pretty good bill. Amendment number 9, pardon me, Ronnie, relating to Pickens County, here's another one of your local bills that are that drew statewide attention Pickens County. It has to do with the age. Listen to this. You're voting on how old you can be in Pickens County to qualify to run for probate judge. I believe that's judge of probate in Pickens County. And you're getting to vote on it. So that's another one of those local bills. I don't think it necessarily needs any further explanation. That's what Amendment number 9 does. Amendment number 10, likewise, is a local amendment. It applies only to Calhoun County, way up around the Anniston area on I-20. This one talks about the police jurisdiction and the planning jurisdiction of a municipality located wholly or in part in the county of Calhoun. We won't go into details on that because we're running really close on time. But Amendment number 10 is a local amendment applying only to Calhoun County. Vote on it if you want to. You've got that right as required by the state constitution, which we hope to amend with the aforementioned Amendment number 3. Amendment number 11 is a proposed amendment that permits cities and counties, notwithstanding any existing constitutional restrictions, to utilize tax increment district revenues collected with a major zone to incentivize the establishment and improvement of various types of manufacturing. So that has to do with economic development. Under current law, a city or county may pledge a projected increase in future property taxes to acquire and develop property. This has to do with if they acquire and develop that property, they do not have to get a fair market value when they sell that property. They can use that as an incentive to lure in prospective industry. So this gives a little leeway for the municipalities or the county to invest in property for economic development, industry expansion, and then sell that land at current rate. They have to sell it at a fair market value. So that's what Amendment number 11 does for the state constitution. Amendment number 12 is relating to Baldwin County, our neighboring county. They have a local bill on the statewide ballot, and it is to authorize the legislature by general or local law to provide for any municipality in the county, that's his only Baldwin County, to incorporate a toll road and bridge authority as a public corporation in the municipality for the construction and operation of toll roads and bridges in the municipality and to authorize the authority to issue revenue bonds to finance those projects. All pertaining to Baldwin County, it would allow the legislature to give them authority to establish an authority of a city or a town concerning toll roads, and they would be over that. It applies only to Baldwin County. That's your four amendments that apply only to specific counties in the state of Alabama and does not apply to anyone within our hearing distance, with the exception of Amendment number 12, which is pertaining to our neighboring county of Baldwin. Amendment number 13 is to repeal existing age restriction on the appointment, election, or service of appointed officials. What it actually means is except for judicial offices. Amendment 13 eliminates any law that imposes a maximum age restriction on the election appointment. The state government cannot pass a future law that includes a maximum age restriction on the election or appointment of a public official. That's a limitation on the age restriction of election officials. The state legislature cannot pass any law other than the one that's already on the books for a maximum age restriction concerning judicial offices. They can't pass an amendment or a law to restrict that. That's the 13th Amendment. And now we get to the 14th Amendment. We'll be taking our call from Sonny Brassfield momentarily. The 14th Amendment probably is the most important amendment on the ballot, and that one is going to take a considerable amount of discussion. I want to take a quick break, Hambone, and we'll wait on our call from Sonny Brassfield with the Association of County Commissioners of Alabama, and we'll discuss number 3, number 4, and number 14. Thank you for staying with us. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Thank you very much for those fine sponsor words. We appreciate all of our good sponsors on the Lou in the Morning Show. We are back discussing the amendments of the Alabama Constitution that are on the ballot in 2016. They are on your ballot. You just need to turn it over and find them. And we hope that you will, because some of them mean a whole lot to your future in this state of Alabama. I want to welcome in special guest to our microphones and a good friend of mine, Mr. Sonny Brassfield. Sonny, how are you doing?
I'm doing great this morning, Larry. It's good to hear your voice again, and I appreciate very much the chance to visit with you, and I know the folks there in Escambia County enjoy listening to you in the morning.
Well, I just happened to have this opportunity with Lou out of town. He asked me to do the second hour of the show, and I said, man, these amendments are so confusing. Sonny, I've been going through, as I told you yesterday, I've been going through all of the amendments on the ballot, trying to give just a brief synopsis of what they actually will do. And you can tell from reading the language that's on the ballot how difficult it is to understand it for most of us. So anyway, that's what I've been doing, and we've left out intentionally the discussion on Amendment Number 3, Amendment Number 4, and Amendment Number 14. Didn't even touch 14. But Sonny, those are three major amendments that are on the Constitution that we need the voters and the citizens to be concerned about.
Absolutely, and you want to start with 14, Larry?
I will. Yeah, I think we need to give some explanation of 14 and what it means to the state of Alabama, especially local government.
Absolutely, and again, I will say one issue is that it took a number of things lining up to get this amendment on the ballot at the last minute, and those things lined up because of the importance of this issue. I don't think this amendment would have made it through the process in the special session and would have gotten under the deadline window as it did if everyone involved in the legislative process had not understood the impact that this issue will have on every single community in the state. It's unfortunate that it had to go all the way to the bottom of the ballot, and that we are depending on the voters to not only turn their ballot over, but then to make it all the way down to number 14. And I'll see if I can explain this issue, you know, kind of succinctly for the radio, Larry. It is very complicated and deals simply with how the House of Representatives actually counts its votes and how that vote count impacts the validity and operation of local legislation. So, quickly, Alabama allows the legislature to pass laws for each county. So Escambia County may have laws impacting public safety, the collection of revenue, the delivery of fire protection in rural areas, all kinds of services that your citizens depend on. Your laws are very likely different from the laws in Covington County and Baldwin and Clark. Every county has its own laws. Those laws are passed in a very, kind of general run of the day business operation in the House and the Senate. There's generally not debate on those. Legislators from North Alabama respect your legislators about what they want in their county. And so the vote count on those bills sometimes is difficult to keep a handle on. In the mid-'80s, the voters of this state adopted a constitutional amendment called budget isolation to require the legislature to pass the budgets before they passed anything else. Everyone realized that in most sessions that would be unworkable, especially as it relates to local bills. There would be no reason to hold those local bills up, and so there is an escape hatch in that law that allows local bills to come up if there's a 3/5 majority in the House and Senate that want those bills to come up. And the issue is there's been a court challenge on how that 3/5 vote is counted. Circuit Court in Jefferson County ruled that the way the House counts those votes is not proper. That case is on appeal to the Alabama Supreme Court. But if that appeal fails and that local law in Jefferson County is voided, we literally have hundreds of local laws in Alabama, many of them a couple of decades old, that will face the exact same challenge on the counting of the votes. And so what this amendment does is it simply validates those local laws that are already in place, doesn't change them at all, doesn't give any additional power to anybody. It just says these laws that have been passed, that everybody believes the vote was proper, this constitutional amendment says straight out the vote on those bills is hereby ratified so that those laws can continue to operate in Escambia and all over the state of Alabama. I said it was going to be succinct, but it wasn't. But
well, this lawsuit in Jefferson County that now has another sister lawsuit out of Chilton County challenges the validity, or could allow attorneys across the state to challenge the validity of every bill that was passed under similar circumstances, affecting every county in the state of Alabama, affecting probably many municipalities and other government subdivisions.
That's right. Certainly you would have people who specialize in this kind of litigation who would be watching the Jefferson County ruling. And should the Supreme Court rule against Jefferson County and against the legislature and say that the way the House counts votes isn't the right way, and it has to do with whether there's a quorum actually counted in the 3/5 number. I would put everybody to sleep if I went through all that, but if the Supreme Court does in fact say the House has been counting the votes wrongly, then all of these other local laws, and we've identified more than 600, and we think there are another 300 or 400 if we go all the way back to 1984, that the votes have been counted the same way in the House since 1984. It's not like the House has changed its rules. We've been counting the votes the exact same way, but there are laws in every single county. They deal with annexation. They deal with the delivery of public safety services, issues with courts. We've got all kinds of things with regard to the operation, powers given to the sheriff to make decisions on the operation of his jail that would be put in the similar position to be subject to court challenge. And so this is vitally important that your listeners turn their ballot over and get all the way down to 14, and for them to understand that voting yes on 14 doesn't change anything as it happens today. Isn't going to result in them paying any additional taxes, isn't going to give anybody the authority to regulate them in any way. It just keeps government operating exactly as it is today without twisting us up in hundreds of lawsuits over how the House of Representatives counts votes.
It's so important when you understand that there are so many bills that could be adversely affected and challenged in court that are vital to the operation of local governments. I was counting, I think Escambia County has four of those bills that are for certain in jeopardy. Hadn't got into those yet, and don't think I will. Tenneca County, I'm giving the ones that are in our listening area, our listening audience. In Tenneca County, Alabama, there are four in Tenneca County that are subject to challenge if Amendment 14 don't pass. And then over in Monroe County, the Monroe County folks over there have a number of issues that could be challenged if Amendment 14 does not pass. It would really create some pandemonium. Monroe has only, well, they only have four too, but Baldwin County, I think, has in excess of 25 bills that are subject to challenge if Amendment 14 doesn't pass. And Tony, I think you emphasized it correctly and in a wonderful way that this doesn't change anything. There's no new taxes, no new regulations. It simply is an answer to the legal issue that has been brought forth, and the circuit court in Jefferson County has said it was unconstitutional, and as you said, under Supreme Court or appeal, it certainly is a fix to that problem created by that one lawsuit.
That's right, and it is important. It's confusing. You said at the outset of our discussion, if you look at the 14 amendments and you're not somebody who spends every day working in this arena as we do, most of the language is very confusing, and we'll be posting on our website a webinar that you can listen to on your computer or on your iPhone and listen to a more detailed explanation, and it will also allow you to look at visually a better explanation than I've given this morning, so that the voters can feel a little more comfortable about it. And I would encourage them to take a few minutes to look at our website, which is easy. It's Alabama Counties, all spelled out together, .org. And, that information will be there that they can look at it and understand it better. But it's really important that everybody get all the way to the bottom of the ballot and understand that there's no new powers, no new duties, no new activities. This is just codifying the law as we all know it today.
Sonny, there will be another program that we're going to air on WPFL and probably WBZR and Atmore to make sure that the public gets adequately updated on what these mean. We will talk about the loss of revenue and what the impact it would be in certain situations if this thing doesn't pass at a later date. But after reviewing Escambia County, Monroe County, Tenneca County, Baldwin County, I know that every county would be in turmoil if this bill's not passed and these other bills are not put to bed completely. So we'll do that at a later date, and I know you guys are putting figures together also and on what it is statewide. This is not just South Alabama. This is the entire state of Alabama that's affected by Amendment Number 14. And we do all the other amendments I have not given too much of an opinion on, but we are in support of Amendment Number 14.
Absolutely. And again, I think everybody who's involved in local government is very supportive of it. I wouldn't want to speak for other organizations, but we've talked to everybody from education, sheriffs, tax officials, probate judges. Everybody understands that if this thing were to fail, simply trying to repass the laws we have, Larry, I've estimated that it would cost the counties about $4 million to re-advertise all these local laws and repass them again for no reason. And it would literally grind the legislature to a halt if you can imagine trying to pass 700 or 800, trying to repass 700 or 800 laws that are already on the books, having to re-advertise all of those. simply to keep the status quo. So we hope everyone will look down on Amendment 14. We appreciate you giving us the opportunity to explain it as well.
Sonny, let's talk about two others right quick, because one that's really, really important to me and I think should have been done years ago was Amendment number 3.
Sure. And again, this is more of a technical issue, but this one is one that also hits the voters directly, and they will see it on this election ballot. There are three local constitutional amendments that deal with only one county that are actually on everybody's ballot in the entire state. And it's an example of our system here not working as efficiently as it should. There's no reason for voters in Huntsville to be deciding in a Escambia County issue, and likewise, people in Mobile shouldn't be voting on things in Lauderdale County. So Amendment 3 will eliminate 99% of the occasions in which statewide voters get to vote on local amendments by doing away with what we call here in Montgomery the Callahan Commission. There is a committee of 5 people that decides if an amendment is voted on statewide or in the county, and any one of those 5 people can force a statewide vote. And Amendment 3 does away with that Callahan Committee, says to the legislature, you take a separate vote on whether this is really a local amendment or not. If it's in a local amendment, it's voted on only in that county. And then perhaps the biggest and most significant change Amendment 3 makes is that we leave the decision on local amendments in the hands of the local voters, which we do not do that today in Alabama. The 3 amendments that are on the ballot in November that are local amendments that are on statewide, all we do today is count the statewide vote. So those amendments could fail in the counties affected, but the statewide voters could overrule the local citizens and make those amendments valid. Amendment 3 changes that and says if there is a statewide vote on a local issue, it must pass both locally and statewide. So it's an amendment, easily put, Larry, that allows local citizens to make the local decision on local amendments.
That one is, in my opinion, is just a no-brainer. We've got to get Amendment number 3 passed. It will streamline the local bill issues and put it, as you said, back into the voters' hands of the county that particular bill pertains to. Sonny, Amendment number 4 is sort of a house cleaning bill.
It is. Again, we the association was asked to come forward to the Constitutional Revision Commission several years ago and offer some suggestions about how the legislature might work more efficiently and effectively. And one of the things we pointed out to the commission are the dozens of local bills that pass every year that clog up the legislative process on administrative things at the county level. I'll give you a couple of examples that in 2016 sound so outlandish that your listeners might think I'm making them up, but I'm not. If I'm a deputy and I've worked in Escambia County for 30 years and it's time for me to retire, the county and the sheriff cannot even give me my badge as a recognition of my service to the county unless the legislature passes a local law letting your sheriff give me my badge. It technically is a thing of value, and the sheriff can't give away a thing of value just as the county commission cannot. So we've got, you know, almost every county has had to pass a local law that says when someone retires as a deputy, we can give them their badge. You know, in 2016, it's kind of silly that we have to do things like that. If the sheriff wants to operate, you know, a jail store, he can't do that in his jail without passing a local law. If the county commission wanted to say, we're going to set up a safety program and encourage our workers to take care of each other better, to observe safety regulations, and to do that, we wanted to say, once a quarter, we're going to recognize those employees that have done a great job on safety and have a lunch for them. We can't do that. So What this amendment does is it allows the county and all the county offices to make administrative decisions that today take the passage of a local bill. This has nothing to do with taxes or regulation or any of that. This is all how the courthouse operates. And again, as you said, it's the kind of thing that should have been addressed a long time ago, and we hope the voters will vote yes on Amendment 4.
Association of County Commissioners of Alabama, Sonny, strongly in favor of 3, 4, and 14, and we're trying to make sure that the voters are informed on those and try to encourage them to support them.
Absolutely, and we appreciate very much the opportunity to talk about those. We know that on the ballot sometimes those things are confusing, but 3, 4, and 14 are the ones we've talked about this morning that are very important for yes votes.
Please express my sincere appreciation to Morgan Arrington and Terry Sharpley for their just great help on giving me information for this show this morning and trying to get it out to the people.
Larry, we appreciate you visiting with us, and I know you've got a busy day as you get ready to broadcast the Hurricanes game tonight, and I listen to you from time to time down here up here in Montgomery, and you and your brother do a great job.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sonny. Appreciate you calling in, and we'll be in touch, and we'll do some more of these this informative information shows coming up in the next few weeks before the election.
Take care, Larry. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. That's Sonny Bransfield. He's Executive Director of Association County Commissioners of Alabama, and we appreciate him and his staff and what they do to look out for local governments in the state of Alabama. Well, let me say that I hope to prepare a handout concerning these amendments with very simple language, very short explanations of those ballots issues that are those amendments, and also intend to have a couple of other informative shows concerning the actual monetary loss that the local counties could suffer if Amendment 14 doesn't pass November the 8th. So you stay tuned for more information. We'll give you the programming data on that as we get it developed. But we'll be back before November the 8th to give you much more information on WPFL. I want to thank you for your time. I hope we did not bore you so much with all these amendments, but those are questions that a lot of folks were interested in, thought it was time that we tried to help answer those. Thank you very much again for listening. Thank Ronnie Hammond for running the board for me. And thank David Adams and Ernie White for being our special guest on this second hour of the Lou in the Morning Show. This is WPFL 105.1. We thank you for your time, and we'll go back to our regularly scheduled Legends 105 music.